Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And good morning, Devin. Good to have you for another edition of Talking Guns, my friend.
Good morning, Don. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Boy, we got a busy show this morning. I can't ever remember. We've got so many things to talk about as we do this morning.
I can never remember anything, so I'm right there with you. I'm just a clean slate walking around aimlessly from day to day.
You know, I used to know a guy like that. It was like he was a chicken. Every morning he hatched out of an egg into a brand new world. He had no memory or recall of anything. And tell you what, it was a great way to operate, I think.
Yeah, it sounds terrible, but I'm right there. I'm in the same boat right there with you.
Well, I'll tell you what I want to do is start off talking about legislation. You know, we're getting into the legislation season, and we got a couple of bills that are going to be going forward, maybe more than a couple, but some very interesting ones. One thing I'm happy to announce was, you know, up in Caddo Parish, their parish commission proposed another one of those famous assault weapon bans, which, you know, they've been not having much success lately. And this one also died a pretty quick death. But, and again, it kind of gets back, you know, they can't identify what exactly is an assault weapon. Do you have a definition for an assault weapon?
I'm glad you said that. So I looked at that last night and Friday, Friday night and Thursday night, and it's such a sloppily written bill when they tried to introduce it. I don't really understand what they mean to ban. I mean, I think everybody familiar or unfamiliar with firearms kind of knows what they mean when they say an assault weapon, but I mean, if they plan to get rid of semi-automatic rifles or semi-automatic firearms, I mean, that's 95% of the guns that we sell. So I don't think they know. I couldn't really make heads or tails of it either. A magazine-fed semi-auto. I think it's more to do with what it looks like. People throw that military style quote around. I have no idea what that means either. I mean, I guess it's the way it looks, but yeah, thankfully they turned that down. But I'm sure in the next 50 years, unfortunately, it's going to keep coming up until something bad, you know, happens for your Second Amendment. But yeah, I have no idea what assault weapon means or how they plan to classify it in large. I have no idea. What do you think is...
Some of these bills are what I call feel-good bills. You know, they just put something together that's poorly worded. It's not well thought out. There's no science or logic to back it. And they're just appeasing someone and saying, look what I'm doing for gun rights, you know, for, say, gun safety. And then it dies, and, you know, they get credit for at least trying, even though it was a very poor try. And that's what that one's all about. Now, this House Bill 72, now, I've talked to Representative Danny McCormick about this one. This is a serious bill, and it's getting a lot of attention. This is the one where you will no longer be required to have a concealed carry permit to carry a concealed weapon on your person. And he made some very good points for it. And, you know, we had some people who opposed, and they also made some good points about the training and not necessarily proficiency. I don't think anyone comes out an expert marksman because they've proved that they know how to shoot their gun. But as far as the training part about shoot, don't shoot, the liabilities, use of fatal force, those type of things, there's a lot of merit to that. But then again, there's a lot of red tape, and some people don't want to go through it. And the money thing, I was amazed. I saw your figures that you dug up, and I had no idea that that program generated that kind of money.
Yeah, luckily, a buddy of mine works at the Louisiana State Police. Yeah, you said they do about 100,000 permits through LSP, Louisiana State Police, which is where they process those concealed carry permits. And if everybody did a five-year, some people are doing lifetime, it's not even counting that, just five-year permits, 100,000 at $125 each, $25 a year for 5 years, that's $12.5 million. If you want to divide that by 5 years, you know, yearly, it's $2.5 million a year that they get just from 5 year permits of people getting a concealed carry and then renewing it on a yearly basis. That's a lot of money. I've never known Louisiana or any, you know, anybody to turn down that kind of money like that. So I'm sure they're going to put up a fight. I mean, what do you think? I have very mixed feelings about that. The more I work at a gun store, the more the water gets muddied. It's got a lot of pros, but it has a couple cons as well. I mean, the obvious pros are that it's beneficial to our Second Amendment, which is always, you know, a right that we want to preserve. Society as a whole is also going to be perceived to have more armed good guys in it. You know, when you have more armed citizens, usually the crime rate tends to drop. It's only when you got a bunch of armed bad guys that the crime rate goes up. But, I mean, there's a couple cons, and it doesn't make sense not to bring those up just because we, you know, think that that bill should probably pass. The cons would be that most of those people are going to be action movie fans, and they're not going to have any real training. One of the big benefits of taking that class is that when you come out of the course, I mean, we don't try to scare you by any stretch of the imagination, but most people, when they come out of that course, have a broader understanding of what's going to happen if they take their gun out and shoot somebody with it. A lot of people don't realize that you can't shoot over theft of property. Just because somebody's on your property, that does not mean that you get to shoot them and kill them. And then the more you're in the gun community and think that way, it's kind of like you ever go into a, you know anybody that, like, a couple of my buddies box, you know, they fight semi-professionally, and they never get into a fight outside of boxing. You know, they have a better understanding of how things can go wrong. They're more centered. They know that they can fight and do damage. So outside of the ring, they don't want to fight people. You know, it's the better you get at fighting, I think, the less you want to fight random people, because you know that you can really hurt them. You know the consequences. It's kind of the same thing for more of the gun community that take those classes. The more that they understand how the laws work, and the huge responsibility that they have if they plan to carry a gun on the side of the good guys in public, you know, they don't want to turn this into the Wild West. I think a lot of the people that just get into it are oddly excited about, you know, showing you their gun, taking their gun out and showing it to you what they're carrying. And the more you get into it, the more classes you take, an all-day permit class gets you on the right path. Usually those people come out of that class not wanting to, you know, shoot invaders or people that find themselves on their property just willy-nilly like that, which that is a huge benefit. I mean, the more people that understand the law and know the consequences of their actions and can, you know, be on the good guy's side and be a good guy at the same time, that's hugely beneficial to the way that the outside views the gun industry. So that, you know, I worry a little bit about that. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm kind of like you. I'm a little bit on the fence. The strongest argument, and I had Representative McCormick on a radio interview, and the strongest argument he makes is one that you and I have heard and actually used, is that the bad guys don't care about the law. You know, if they don't care about having to go get a permit to conceal a weapon. If they're a bad guy, they're going to do it anyway. And so what you end up doing is you're penalizing the law-abiding citizens and making them jump the hoops and spend the money to go through all that to get it. On the other hand, I agree with you 100% that someone who completes a hunter education, or not a hunter education, but a concealed carry permit class is better informed. They're more up on the laws, and if nothing else, they are aware and made aware that there are certain places, even though you have the permit, and in the case of not requiring one, if you just can go anywhere concealed, then you can't go anywhere. There are certain places that you are forbidden from bringing a concealed weapon. And someone who has not had the course and learned those and learns how to find out and keep up with the laws is still going to be held accountable to them, but they're not going to have the knowledge of them. And that is one of the things. So I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe without the money, maybe if you keep the courses going, and if you go just take the course and get a little certificate from the person that gives the course, maybe that would suffice to be able to carry it without an official, you know, state police pictured ID of it would suffice. I don't know. I'm still a little mixed on it, but, you know, there's pros and cons to both, and I think this is going to be a very close call this time when it gets to the legislature. There's been attempts before, but I think this one may get a little bit of steam.
Yeah, I think it, just like Atlanta, Georgia, and Georgia as a whole, they do kind of a mixture of what we're talking about. They have a course guideline that you can get online. You show up at, I don't know if it's kind of like a DMV. It's kind of like those title places that can issue, you know, updated licenses and updated ID cards. And you take a brief computer test, you know, that kind of reviews what you should have read the, you know, the day or two before when you come to take the test. It's quick. It's 15, 20 minutes, but it does, you know, go over some of those laws about, look, if this happens, you can't do this. This is the only reason why you should do this. And it breaks down the main points, and then they issue you a little permit pretty much on the spot. It's much cheaper because there's less overhead to run that kind of organization that way. So I think there's a middle ground that we could probably reach, but it's interesting to look at both sides of it, actually look at both sides, you know, and not just get thrown into one and fight it to the death. Do you think, so we just talked about two, last one, constitutional carry. What do you think in the next 50 years, what are you going to be left with in half of a century, you know, like when our grandkids are, you know, old and gray? You think they're going to have guns then?
It's pretty scary just looking at this Democratic, you know, selection of a presidential candidate. And, you know, part of what their plan is, if they finally get enough steam and momentum to actually win the presidency, they're going to be, you know, if you listen to what they're saying, and I mean, it's not a guess. I mean, you go online to their websites and they're talking about no borders, completely open borders.
That's so crazy.
Free college. And you know what the next step is going to be? You won't have to be a citizen to vote. You'll be, if you're an immigrant, illegal or legal or documented or undocumented, once they get those votes, they will win every election in this country. And that's when you're going to really see the chaos and the amendment, the Second Amendment, be really threatened, and guns could be gone away and only in the hands of the people in control. That is the scary part. I think that's their ace in the hole. I don't think that the present population of the United States is going to support socialism and a lot of these programs. But if they can get it to where those immigrants buy into what they're saying and become voters, it's going to be a landslide in their favor. I mean, we don't even know the number, but it's somewhere between 15 and 22 million illegal immigrants living in this country. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are working just to say they get driver's licenses now, they get benefits. And if they get that right to vote, you know, it could be curtains for the Second Amendment. I hate to see that, but that's the scary part. All right, let's take a break, Devin. When we come back, hunting season coming to a close. I made my last small game hunt yesterday. Had a good one. And we got to let people know what to do about cleaning and long-term storing their firearms. And by the way, I want to mention, I just picked up a repaired gun at A1 Guns. I know you guys use them. Rob over there did a great job. I had a safety issue on an over and under 12 gauge, and he took care of it. Actually had to go above and beyond and make a spring that was no longer available for the manufacturer to fix it, but he did a good job.
Nice.
But just cleaning it and storing it, putting up for the season, maybe you got some suggestions. And also, I know you got some hunting and outdoor-related items and supplies over there at the store that people don't think about, you might want to talk about, too.
Sounds good.
We'll do that when we come back right after this. If you'd like to call us, it's 504-260-6368. Text board open at 870-870. We're back right after this. And Devin is the manager of the Jefferson Gun Outlet, located on Airline Drive out there in Metairie. And, Devin, we're talking about hunting season coming to a close. I mean, for all intents and purposes, a couple of things open for the most part, deer, duck, small game, rabbit, and squirrel. All that is closed. So people this time of the year getting ready to put their guns up and store them. Some of them, and not until next season will they be used. So what do you guys suggest for firearm cleaning, for storage for several months?
Right. So every year there's about a 30-day window where I get so depressed I want to crawl into a hole and never return. The guys come in with guns that they haven't used in a year to 2 years to 5 years. Some guns have been sitting in their safe or under their bed forever. And if they if they're stored improperly, the gun will be ruined by the time you get to it. Silicone-based oil is a godsend when it comes to preserving firearms. Obviously, if you hunt and you're going to store your firearm, make sure that it's unloaded. It's in a safe spot where nobody else can get to it. No kids, nobody that shouldn't have access to the gun can get it. Make sure you clean it, a deep clean with a solvent, and then oil it with an oil. And silicone rags, if you're unfamiliar with them, they work wonders as far as preserving the finish on your firearm. Wipe them down with that. And then every time that you handle a firearm, you know, your gun, you take it out to, look at it or show your buddy or just kind of fool around with it, or you want to keep cleaning it. Once you're done, it's also important that because there's oils, you know, on your hands, that you use an oil-based rag or a silicone-based oil rag to just go over the outside of it, the finish of it, before you store it. We also don't recommend those long gun or handgun bags that are have that fake, I guess it's like a, I don't know what they call it, like a fake wool. It's like a fake sheepskin lining or something. Because if they're dry and any moisture gets to that gun, it's going to somehow turn into glue almost, and the firearm's going to be stuck to that case. You're going to have to almost cut it out or burn it off. That happens quite a lot, too. What, do you do anything specific? You ever take one of your guns out and got a little bit of surface rust or pitting or something crazy happen where it looks totally different from when you put it up?
Yeah, and you know, I think what you're talking about is those fleece-lined gun cases. You know, they're real soft, and I guess you would think, man, that's a great way to store my gun. It won't get damaged because it can absorb shock and all that. But that stuff is not good for your gun at all. And really, you should take it out of any case. And you know, best place, of course, is in the safe or on the rack. And I guess that silicone base is good because it fights moisture, and moisture is the enemy of metal. I mean, that's what causes a rusting problem. Do you guys do any of that if people bring it in, or do you turn everybody over to like A1 or professional gunsmith?
No, we do. We clean and oil. We invested in a industrial grade bath wash for firearms. It's kind of like a dishwasher, but for guns. It's a sonic cleaner, if anybody wants to look it up and check it out. They're not cheap, but they do work very well. It's a sonic cleaner, and then we clean them. After that's done, we go through them by hand, make sure it got all the internals of the gun clean. And then we do the same thing, but with an oil bath. It's a non-solvent-based solvent, and then an oil-based oil bath. And that works well. But, I mean, again, if you know, a lot of guys don't, you know, they take it home, and before they actually put it up, you know, they'll kind of, you know, fool around with it a little bit or go to their buddy's house and show them what they were hunting with. And by the time they get back home, most of that oil on the outside of it is gone. So a silicone rag works wonders. You got to buy one every 6 months or so because it dries out. But yeah, if you have a silicone rag and you store it somewhere where it's not going to get moist or damp, you know, a climate controlled area somewhere in your house, it'll last forever, won't ever rust. Also, leather is terrible. You know, great holsters can be made of leather, but you don't want to ever store your gun in anything that's leather. Leather's not going to, you know, if it gets moist or anything, it's going to hold that moisture against the gun. Some of the worst guns that have ever come into the store were stored in leather holsters for long periods of time. And the gun, look, it's kind of interesting. The gun will look great, you know, until you remove it from the holster. And every part that was hidden under that holster is just a pitted, rusted, you know, disaster. So no leather. And no, what did you call it? Looks like the fur that's on,
fleece.
You know, women's boots. Yeah, fleece. There you go.
Yeah, fleece, like a sheepskin looking thing. Yeah, you know that leather. I think there's a lot of salt content in it too, which is another enemy of metal. You know, moisture and salt will put rust on them in a heartbeat.
Yeah, they don't drain. You know, any moisture, right. They just hold it right up against the gun, and oh, it's sad. Destroy your gun. Hey, I wanted
yeah,
to.
Another one is the black powder, that's a especially dirty weapon that needs a good cleaning. You know, really, I clean mine after every time I shoot it for black powder, because if you don't, you never know if it's going to fire or not, because there's so much fouling that gets in there.
What do you use for your black powder when you go hunting and then you don't shoot it, or at the end of it, do you just shoot it to clear it out? A lot of guys come in with black powder, and it's a mess getting that out of there. It's almost like a semen block after a year or two. You know, if you load your black powder gun and then you don't shoot it and then you forget that it's loaded and then you store it, you just shoot it when you're done. Do you even black powder hunt?
Yeah, I do. And on the last time of the season, last day, if I haven't shot it, I will shot it to get all of that out of there. Because you know what could happen too? Somebody over a year's time, they forget that it's still loaded and reload with a double charge, and then you really got problems. You know,
right. So I wanted to, I had promised a customer, I'm so goofy, I promised a customer I would ask you, have you ever, it's funny how things come in waves, right? So the gun store is so funny how people come in and without knowing each other, it comes in like these waves of interesting and odd, you know, people that have odd and interesting ideas. Some guy was watching something. And he listens to our show. He was watching something on Science Channel or Sci-Fi or something where these people were being held hostage in their house by some kind of monster or something. I don't know what it was. You ever seen anything? I told him I would ask you. Who would be more, you know, spending more time outside than you? You ever seen anything interesting like that? Anything that's like an archetypal, strange, unusual thing? I don't know anybody that's outside more than you, so I figured you might. Any, I don't know, Bigfoot, UFOs, I promised I might ask you anything goofy.
I've had some I don't know what you want to call them, that they were it was just something that appeared to be something that it wasn't, and there was a logical explanation for it. However, there is one that haunts me since I was a child. I mean, probably back 5 or 6 years old, and I saw something in the woods. I was by myself. That I've just—it's like I saw it yesterday, because it came to mind so often. It's unexplainable exactly what it was, but it appeared to be some type of an animal that was part goat and part something else. And I guess if people who have been around Metairie for a long time, they used to call that the Grunch. But before I even heard the word Grunch, I saw this as a child and just imprinted on my brain. And I don't know whether it was something else that I thought it was, but that. The only other thing that I can tell you about, and I'm planning to have this guy come on. I don't know if you're familiar with a case that happened. I think it was in 1960. It was either late 60s or early 70s. Two guys were fishing under the bridge on the Pascagoula River.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Go ahead. That's a good story.
They were abducted by aliens, brought into a spacecraft. They were kind of examined. They couldn't move, but their senses were about them, but they were completely powerless. They did whatever they did to them, and then they released them and put them back. And there's been, you know, people that they've taken lie detector tests and passed. And one guy, actually the younger one, who was still alive, the older man has since died. Both of them, he went to his grave swearing that the story was true. The police chief that interviewed him, a psychiatrist that administered a lie detector test, they passed. And the conclusion was, whether it happened or not, we don't know, but they truly believe it did happen to him. Judging from the backgrounds on these two guys and reading books, one of them has had an author help him write the younger one. And I believe something happened to those two guys out there. They've never capitalized on it. They didn't try to get rich. This was before the days of putting something on YouTube and going viral and having people, you know, have you do guest appearances and all of that kind of thing. And even since then, they have found people who, if they've gone back and on that same very night that this happened, saw things that kind of corroborate their story about something with lights that came in the sky. And, I mean, when you look at that whole scenario in terms of how big this universe is, because it's infinite, and infinite is a term or phenomenon we can't truly understand or comprehend because our whole world is limited, our world, but the entire world is not, that the possibility of other beings and other solar systems and other galaxies in this universe, certainly the odds are in their favor that they exist. Now, whether we've coincided and we've actually had communication and occurrences with each other, I don't know for sure. But in this one particular case, I believe the guy. And I talked to the author of the book, and we're lining it up because I wanted to do a story on that, well, show on that, and have people call me and tell me when they're in the woods, have you ever seen anything that was unexplainable at night, or certain things that just had no explanation for what it was or what you saw.
That was a good story. Thank you, man, for sharing that. I have to tell him if he wasn't listening. I'm so amazed by most of that stuff. But
well, we'll let him know when I have him come on, because I'm planning in the next few weeks of getting the guy to come on and tell the story, because he wants to tell it now. He almost kind of lost it, and he kind of went in hiding for a number of years because he just was overwhelmed with the reporters and all the publicity, and he wasn't used to that. He was basically a country boy. But he's since kind of changed, and now he's willing to really tell a story.
Nice. So anyway, know when it is.
We'll do that. All right, let's take another break, and we come back. We'll talk about any items that people might want to check out that's hunting-related, or if you pack yourself into the woods. And I always bring a little kit. Depends on where I am and where I'm going, what degree of life-saving equipment and devices I bring with me. And then a little bit later on, very interesting, the Gatling gun story. You guys have really opened up a can of anacondas with that Pittman Armory Gatling gun. We're going to have Drew come on and talk more about that. Stan Dubuque and Devin Burgess, we're talking guns right here on WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
Devin, for your friend's information and for yours too, the name of those two co-workers who were abducted when they were fishing under the Pascagoula River Bridge in Mississippi was in 1973. Charles Hickson was the older man. I think he was 42 or 43 when it happened, and Calvin was 19. And Calvin has agreed to come on and tell his story, probably for the 999,000th time, but I think it'll be very interesting. We'll let your buddy know when that's getting ready to come on.
Yeah, and me, let me know. I'm interested to hear it.
Oh, definitely, definitely. We may get him on this show. You want him on Talking Guns?
Yeah.
We could do
I'll
that.
Ask him some questions. Yeah. I'd like that.
All right, tell me about items that you guys now have added to your shooting supplies and firearm store that might interest hunters and other people who go in the outdoors. I tell you, the most valuable little tool I've got, I don't even know the official name of it, but it's one of these, it's like a screwdriver, and it has a magnesium shaft and a wooden handle, and you bring a pocket knife with you, and you scrape it, and you can start a fire on almost anything. It will burn even when wet. You just get a little bit of grass, damp grass or moss or pine straw, and you can actually start a fire with this thing. And I don't ever go in the woods without that. It permanently stays in my backpack. Now, when I'm fishing or duck hunting, I'm on the water, whole different situation. I mean, we've got flares. I've got one of these reflective space blankets, they call them. You know, a thing comes in handy for a number of reasons. And we actually did a TV feature where my cameraman went up in a Coast Guard helicopter, and I went with two guys in a camouflage boat wearing camouflage, and we ran it up into the marsh, as, pretending as if we were duck hunters, to demonstrate how tough it is, even from a helicopter, knowing a general area, to actually find you in your camo. And if your motors broke down or you're stuck on a mud flat, in January when duck hunting season, the water's cold and the tides are out and there's a lot of mud or somebody gets wet, that is a life-threatening situation. So those little items like that, a whistle, a lot of things like that are extremely important to have. They're very cheap, inexpensive. And in fact, I would suggest to you that maybe you put a little pack together and market it with some of those items in it. I'll give you a list of what I think is good and offer that for sale. I think you might save somebody's life by selling.
Right. Have you ever gotten stuck somewhere and like, man, this is, I'm glad I brought, you know, this. If I didn't have this.
No. I've been fortunate. Now, I have been lost for several hours and eventually found my way back to the road or the truck, wherever it was. But as far as being marooned and staying for a long time, the longest I spent 12 hours in a duck blind. But what happened was the surface drive boat we were in broke down. The rescue surface drive boat that came to get us broke down. Oh, and we had to find and wait for a third one. But it was all before it got dark, and it wasn't that bad. And it was just a long duck hunt. I kind of enjoyed it, actually.
How do you have one of those GPS phones? We were thinking about stocking a couple of those. How did you get in touch with the,
you know,
the guy?
Well,
that
we were using
you.
Radios back then. We were using the little walkie-talkie radios when they were popular. It wasn't that far from the camp where they had that, you know, but cell phone service wasn't any good back then at that time. But, you know, they can actually locate you from your cell phone.
Right.
Sure,
so it'll pick it up even without, you know, being in the off in the boonies with no service. It can pick
Well, the best thing to do is have a Coast Guard radio, you know, with one of those Coast Guard radios.
Right.
There's a certain channel that they monitor, and they can relay messages, and you can get messages to them. Cell phones, everybody likes to use them because they're convenient, but they don't always work everywhere. And you know what? A lot of people find out they don't work well at all if you drop them in the water, and that happens a lot with fishermen.
Right, right. We saw a lot of those little packs, those heating packs, too, for your hands and your feet.
Oh, the hand thing. Yeah, those are great also. Martha loves those things. She's always got five or six of them on her everywhere we go. You know?
Right. So
and
space
some people
blanket.
Put them in their boots.
Yeah, in their boots and your gloves.
A whistle, flare, and then this little, I don't know what it's called, but it's got a wooden handle, and it looks like a screwdriver, and the shaft coming out is made of magnesium. And if you got that in a pocket knife, and, you know, magnify. Actually, what you do is you can make a spark with it, you know. You
right,
put
it looks
some
kind
of the
like,
shavings.
Like a knife sharpener almost, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah. I'll bring it into the store and you can look at it, but you shave some of the magnesium off. You let that on whatever it is, the tinder that you're going to start the fire with, and then you can actually, when you strike it, it actually makes a spark, and it will ignite it.
Yeah.
Or if you got a sunny day, a magnifying glass. I'm sure you've, you know, when you were a kid, you... Some kids, I am told, now this is not firsthand, but some kids, I am told, used to use a magnifying glass on grasshoppers.
We used to burn each other with them. Somebody would fall asleep in the car.
Better than a
grasshopper,
I guess,
fire.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You're good. You could burn somebody, yeah, pretty
so
bad.
So anyway, we're good.
Look,
ahead.
Devin.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we're
going to
take a break because we got Drew standing by. Everybody
oh, I forgot
wants to
about
hear about
Drew.
This Gatlin gunman.
I forgot about Drew.
He's there.
Right.
He's there. We'll be right back after this time out and talk to Drew. He's going to tell us all about the Gatlin gun from Tippmann Armory. They got one over there at Jefferson Gun Alley. Go try it. We'll be back right after this. Devin, now while we're in the break, I went and actually got my little device, and I was hoping it had a name on it, but it doesn't have a brand name, no product name. It's just a little wooden dowel with a hole through it where I guess if you wanted to run a little cord to maybe, you know, wear it around your neck, and, you know, then it extends out, like you said, like a knife sharpener. It's a magnesium tube that you can scrape, and then when you hit it, it also will initiate a spark, and it's how you get fires started in an emergency. But anyway, somebody will have the name for it and remind us about it. In the meantime, you have a special guest. We do a gun product of the month each month when we have the Talking Gun Show. And, Devin, why don't you tell us about this week's product and our guest that's going to discuss it with us.
So this product has a special place in my heart. So I'm going to keep it short because we got Drew, and Drew's a super interesting dude and really nice guy, too, that we met. He worked for Tippmann Armory. We had received a couple Gatlin guns that we had ordered. I found them online, got in touch with Drew, and ordered a few Gatlin guns. It was the first Facebook post that we ever had that kind of went viral. We did some pictures of it and then did a shooting it in the range, and it had like 5 million views. By the way, if you have a business, don't put your cell phone number on Facebook or your wife will kill you while you sleep. I didn't know what was going on. The first day, you
five million with an M. That's incredible.
It has like 4.6 million views right now. And then I think the video has a few hundred thousand. So, yeah, it's crazy. But anyway, I put my number on there and 2 o'clock in the morning rolls around and my phone kept ringing. I didn't know what was going on. And the people from all over the country calling me about this Gatling gun. So we're going to get Drew from Tippmann Armory to tell us about it. Drew, you with us?
I'm here, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming. So thank you, first of all, for making something that is so cool. Everybody that comes into the store automatically gravitates towards it. They want to shoot it. We've sold a ton of them. They're not cheap, but, I mean, they are so cool. It's one of the few things that your wife might let you put in the middle of your living room because it's so pretty. What mad scientist genius at Tippmann Armory created this thing, and how long did it take you, concept?
Denny Tippmann Sr., who was kind of he's kind of a gun legend in his own right. He, in the early 80s, was making little mini Browning 19 full autos, 22s. People who were in the gun game back then know who Denny Tippmann is. So he's been in the game. Then he got into Tippmann Paintball, and that's a whole different story. But it was December 2018 he came in the office and decided he wanted to get back into the weird game of guns, you know, something different. He was tired of, you know, everything was just the same. There's nothing new out there. So he came in and said he wants to do a Gatling gun. We threw a prototype together in a couple weeks, took it down to SHOT Show, and it was a hit. So 6 months later, we were shipping them out the door. We decided to go with, obviously, the 9mm that takes Glock mags. It's kind of spreading across the country now. People are starting to see it. People are starting to love it. It's been a real big hit for us.
Right. So what is your job title at Tippmann Armory?
Sales. I wear a couple different hats, but, you know, my title is I run the sales department, you know, keep everybody their gun, get their guns, keep everybody happy, you know.
You do. You made us very happy. We appreciate
it. Well, you know, Devin, that's what I like to do, man. And I appreciate you guys, you know. The relationship we have with you guys is great, so I hope we can keep that going.
Did anybody send you that video? I mean, I had people calling me from Alaska, from Texas, from New York, from, everywhere.
Yeah, people call in, say it's all over Facebook. Yeah, I get phone calls about the Facebook posts all the time.
Well, that's great, man. That's great. So how long did it take you from the time that he walked in the door and said, I got this crazy idea to make a 9mm
gun? I think it was December of 2018, and then the first one we shipped out, I believe, was July 2019.
That's so cool. So for people listening that can't see it, it's, I don't know if they're familiar with Gatling guns or not, but it's a multi-barreled rotating crank operated firearm that takes Glock magazines. It's in 9mm. The cool thing is y'all ship it with, it's the firearm itself, a lead or a, I don't know, something that attaches to a base, and it has wheels on it. It's so cool.
Right.
I mean, the wheels are actual rubber. They're, you know, you fill up the tires.
Yeah, it's kind of a different take on the old Gatling gun wheels. You know, typically they have wood spoke wheels, but we kind of went with the new look. Also, that keeps the price down. One of our main goals for this gun was, you know, if you look at Gatling guns, any other Gatling gun on the market, the Colt, they're $45,000. You know?
At least.
So, yeah, so we wanted to keep it down to where, you know, anybody could really afford it if they wanted to. So that was one of the main goals that we were shooting for.
So other than coming in Jefferson Gun, where can our listeners go to view your line of products? Find
you can get on TippmannArmory.com. You can check us out there. We also, if there's a link on that to we have another site of a little small dabble on air guns. There's Air Ordnance, which is a company of ours as well. So airordnance.com, TippmannArmory.com. You can find all our stuff there.
That's great. What MSRP on those Gatling guns?
MSRP on the Gatling guns is $5,000.
Yeah, like you said, most of them, most of the ones I see on Gun Broker and stuff are between $60,000 and $80,000 if you want an actual functioning rotating gun.
You want one of the old Colt. The Bulldogs, or you know, anything in that line, those things are outrageously expensive. So,
Yeah, man, so cool. So what did you get? I wanted to ask you, too. I was thinking about it last night, and don't be mad at me. Did you get somebody from Texas that called you in the last couple of weeks? A guy called me and bought one. Out of the five we sold, we didn't sell a single one in Louisiana, which made me very upset. But somebody in Texas bought one, and then he called back about a week later and said that he tried to mount it to his four-wheeler, and I don't know if he was drinking a little bit, but his four-wheeler went over the side of a cliff or a mountain or something, tumbled down with the gun on it, and then he wanted me to fix it. I told him, I don't know how to fix that. You got to call Tippman Armory. So
I have not got that phone call yet.
All right, maybe it's still at the bottom of the mountain, but he might be calling.
Oh, man, I can't wait till that guy calls.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It's all right, man.
But that's
so nobody
great.
In Louisiana bought one, huh?
Well, yet. I'm holding out hope, Drew.
Okay, all right.
Hope
all
is big for me. Somebody in Louisiana is going to pick one up. But we sold all. We had three of them that you sent us. We sold those immediately. We actually sold five, and you were awesome enough to send us three more a couple weeks ago. So we got one in the store. We sold all of them in like 6 hours after that,
really?
That post.
That's awesome. Yeah, they're
viral.
When people see them, when people get their hands on them, they want them because they're not, you know. We didn't skimp on the process. The way they're built, it's just, you know, it's top-notch. It really is.
Yeah, I was so surprised when we got them. And everybody that looks at them and actually puts, you know, gets hands-on with them, it's all the same thing. They can't believe, first of all, that it's that doesn't seem inexpensive, but that's pretty inexpensive for a functioning,
right.
Well-made. I mean, it's got brass.
Yeah, and the machining on it, you know, if you understand machining, you look at it and you're like, there's no way this can sell for $5,000.
Yeah.
Because
real tires.
It's
got real air inflated tires, not those plastic kid tricycle tires. It's super cool,
right,
man.
Right.
I'm glad to
have. Devin and Drew, before we run out of time, the burning question, I'm getting people want to know, what is the red tape in getting this? Does a simple NICS background check get it, or do you need special
permits?
Yeah,
you're rated 4473,
you know,
get it.
Going to class or what?
No, just your 4473. It's considered a semi-auto. So, you know, it's just like picking up a rifle or a shotgun. You go, it's not an NFA, you know, there's no tax stamps, no nothing. It's legal. You know, just got to do a transfer through an FFL, and that's it.
So cool. Don, you need one.
You know, it comes with a 33-round Glock mag. That does hinder some states, you know, the 10-round capacity. So you can run into that, but as far as the gun itself, it's totally legal.
Yeah.
All right, Drew. Well, thank you.
Is
Don,
it only a 9mm, or are there other calibers?
It's
other
only
calibers,
a 9mm right now.
Millimeter.
I'm trying to talk the boss into a couple different calibers, but we'll see. But right now, 9mm is all we're doing.
I'd love to see a 22. I'd be 22, the meanest guy in the squirrel woods.
That's what everybody
yeah.
wants, a 22. So I'm trying to talk him into it. So we'll see.
Yeah, good luck. I hope you convince them.
Right, me too.
All right, Don, it's about that time.
Drew,
thanks
for being
again.
With us. We appreciate
it. Hey, guys,
yes,
I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you, brother.
Yep, you guys take care.
Devin, if someone comes by the store, can they get a demonstration, or did you sell the last one you had?
No, we can test fire it before you or after you purchase it. But yeah, as soon as they buy it, they can take it on the range. We had one that we were test firing, but somebody, it was the last one that we had a few weeks back. So somebody bent my arm and made us sell it to him. But yeah, buy it. I'll let you shoot it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If you want to see it again, on Facebook page, Jefferson Gun, see me shooting it. You come by and shoot it. Like you said, those squirrels won't know what hit them.
Tell them the address.
6719
No.
Airline Drive,
no, they won't.
Metairie, Louisiana, 7003. And then we do the concealed carry classes, Shooters Club at 2338 Hickory every Saturday. So if you got nothing to do this morning, go get you a permit.
This is the most interesting show I do.
I love this show. I love
Thanks
it.
Thanks to you, Devin. Appreciate it.
I'll
Me
see
too.
You later.
Me too. Everybody does. Thanks again.
Talk
see
you
next
time. Month. Bye-bye.
Devin Burgess. All right, coming back after the top of the hour, CBS Sports Update. We're going to be joined by Josh Goins, Flyway Federation, Foulmouth Talk Radio, coming up next on WWL 105.3 FM HD2, and you can catch us on the app at radio.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.